With the Pittsburgh Steelers getting ready to play the Cleveland Browns, the AFC North showdowns are going to be all about this season. The AFC North, arguably the best division in football. We're going to talk about that here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, as well as Mike Tomlin's comments from his Tuesday press conference. Joining me will be Adam Bittner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's been a recurring guest on the show. We're glad to have him back. It's going to be a fun one here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. We also thank you for making us your first listen every day. We are available on all podcasting platforms. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and now YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like this video on YouTube to help us out. Leave us a five-star rating with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts, and you get a special shout-out at the end of the show. Joining me today is a guy we've had on this show a few times now, Adam Bittner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Adam, it's great to have you back on the show, man. How you been?
It's great to be back, Chris. I'm wearing a, your YouTube viewers will see I'm wearing a crew neck because it's now officially crew neck season. And so it's under 50 degrees today. So I'm excited for all that. This is my kind of weather, cloudy and 45.
Hey, Pittsburgh. That's the thing, man. All September, we was getting sunny and hot, and I was like, hey, I love it, but I'm like, I'm being fooled here. This isn't true Pittsburgh weather. We need cloudy and just darker outside, and that's what it's been. It's certainly that fall weather, and this is getting to be fall type of football now because the Steelers are about to take on the Cleveland Browns. It's going to be one of the more talked about matchups of the week, especially because of the way the Browns beat the Steelers in the playoffs last year, but also because both teams are kind of figuring themselves out this season. The Browns are 4-3 after their Thursday night football win last week. The Steelers are 3-3, coming off a 2-game win streak going into their bye week, but definitely looking questionable, with different parts of their game. I wanted to get your thoughts, Adam, before we get to the matchup specifically, about the AFC North. The Bengals were, I think, a lot of people across the country said that they were going to be the last place team of this division. They were still a team that needed to figure things out. They didn't have an offensive line to protect Joe Burrow. They did all these things. They're still figuring things out. And that the Ravens would be one of those teams at the top. And the Ravens looked like that. They were 5-1, and then they got smacked by the Bengals on Sunday. The Bengals now in first place, tied with the Ravens at 5-2, but of course with the tiebreaker for beating them. So now it's in the order of the Bengals, the Ravens, and then the Browns, and then the Steelers in this division. Do you think that the Bengals are the truth in this division right now? Because yesterday we had Tony Serino come on. He said he thinks they're the frauds and that it's going to shake itself out to kind of be closer to what everyone expected by season's end.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think I wouldn't call Cincinnati a fraud. I think to get to this point, and where they're leading the division and they've beaten Baltimore, which I think is the best team in the division still. I think they have to be taken seriously as a playoff threat. Whether they can win the division or not, I think with a team like this that's this young that still kind of has to learn to win a little bit, I think we're going to see some slip-ups, and that's going to prevent them from winning the division. But in terms of the playoff race, I think you have to take them seriously, especially if you're the Steelers and the Browns. That's pretty much going to probably determine, whether you're in the playoff mix or not, is how you play against the Bengals. So I think those matchups are going to be crucial for both the Browns and the Steelers because they've kind of been dealing with some things seemingly before the Bengals have. So maybe it'll turn out that the Browns and the Steelers got some of their problems out of the way early and they start to round it into form later. But for now, I think you have to look at Cincinnati as a viable threat.
I mean, absolutely. I consider them a viable threat. I mean, they've beaten both the Ravens and the Steelers away, like in Baltimore and in Pittsburgh. When you're getting away wins in the AFC North and in a tight year, we think is going to be a tight division race. When you look at it, really, it is a tight division race. The Browns are what, a game out of first place right now, and they're at 4-3. They're only a half game up above the Steelers. So it's like, you look at this situation, this is going to be a competitive year, so those wins do matter. But let's look at the Browns real quick, because something that Mike Tomlin brought up in his Tuesday press conference was how the Browns are – it's funny. You know, everyone joked about Juju saying the Browns is the Browns, but Mike Tomlin more or less said that when asked, like, hey, are you guys preparing for the Browns any differently with Case Keenum in there or Baker Mayfield in there? And he was like, not really. They are still who they are. They run the ball well. They catch you off guard in different ways. They run a balanced offensive look, and they challenge you in different ways. That's their strength, and Case Keenum doesn't detract from that. What's your takeaway from how the Browns have put together their season? They're still just 4-3. They haven't dominated like a lot of people thought they might, but you know, they've still been able to maintain a strong ground game even when Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt have been out.
Yeah, and I think their schedule has made them an interesting team, because they faced some matchups that you're probably not surprised that they struggled in a little bit. You know, they're not a team that's really had any laugh out loud terrible losses to me. So, and then with the injuries, I think they're hard to kind of get a read on at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think you have to kind of get some guys back and then kind of see how they click. But we've definitely seen them win a few games that are in that this is the Browns being the Browns type of style. You know, just pounding away with the run and having Baker Mayfield not have to make too many plays downfield. They do spread the ball around well too. I was working on our five things to know about the Browns this week at post-gazette.com, and they have eight guys with over 100 yards already, or I believe it's nine actually. It's eight or nine guys who have over 100 receiving yards. So the fact that they don't have any massive receiving threats is kind of offset by the fact that Mayfield can find whoever he wants seemingly at any time. You know, when he's in there, and now obviously Case Keenum is backing up. I do think that there is a difference, at least in the statistical profile, between Keenum and Mayfield. And obviously it's been a pretty small sample size with Case Keenum, and he's a backup for a reason. But I do think if Mayfield misses some extended time, you're going to see a little bit more of a drop off. I think that's what makes Keenum a great backup, is that you were able to see him step in last week and you know, just kind of keep the ship pointed ahead. Right. And not make any of the big mistakes that were going to cost them. And I think that really fits well with the Browns makeup too, is they're not going to ask him to do too much, you know, as long as Mayfield's in there. And that's kind of the way this offense is structured.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I saw, you know, I saw a couple of Steelers fans make jokes about this when I was tweeting about this during the press conference, in that saying, oh, here comes the Browns. They're going to make another T-shirt out of this. But I mean, that's kind of what they did last year, was where, you know, Juju's statement, the Browns is the Browns, was more so just how the Steelers approach all teams. It's like, look, man, nameless gray faces, every opponent, we don't worry about them. We worry about us, you know, take note of the matchups, but it's still about your execution. And in this statement, it's not really an indictment of Baker Mayfield or anything. It's more of a, you know what, this team is big on running the football. And if they're running the football, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback, they're going to be able to find ways to win, because you can't focus on them when you're worrying about them getting 130, 140 yards with a single back. I mean, Dearness Johnson, who thought that guy was going to blow up for big yards like that against the Broncos? And there he was running loose on Thursday Night Football. And then again, it made things easy for Case Keenum. He didn't have to do too much. And that's exactly what you said. That's where the balance of this Browns team is right now, is being able to run the ball so that there's not that much pressure on the quarterback. And when it's time to hit the open man, sure, do that. But it's going to be there because the defense can't focus on the passing game because they're so worried about the ground game. That's where I think the Steelers are going to have some of their biggest struggles with this team, especially with the way they struggle stopping the run against the Seahawks. Now, we've been told by Chris Wormley and then Mike Tomlin that a lot of that was assignment related, was alignment related. We'll get to that in the third segment of this show a little bit more. It's still going to be the top concern. If the Steelers can't stop the ground game in this game, and we're assuming Nick Chubb will be back and ready to go, it's going to be a major stopping point. And this can be a turning point for the Steelers season. It's week eight. They're coming out of the bye week. They're 3-3 at the bottom of the division. You win this game, you jump above the Browns, and it's kind of a statement like, hey, yeah, we're still around here. And then you get a couple games against the Bears and the Lions where you could start to boost your record a little bit. But you lose this game, you're 3-4, you're even further back from the rest of your division, and now you're going to have to do even more work to catch up. I think it's going to be a very interesting and telling point to see how the Steelers match up with the Browns, especially in this ground game.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think a lot of people talk about Baker Mayfield. I think he tends to get a lot more of the attention than maybe he deserves in this offense, because of his personality and because he's on, you know, every single commercial break during a game, you know, he has the personality that kind of puts the focus on him. But I think that kind of takes away from what the Browns are. And so, you know, I think it's just important to remember that too, is that, yes, just because his public persona is what it is, doesn't necessarily mean anything when you kick the ball off and get between the lines. That's not to say that he's not a useful and solid quarterback. Just that it's not like some of the other teams in this league where it's about the quarterback and everything works off of that. I think this is Cleveland's kind of the opposite scenario where, you know, and I think you could maybe even look back to those Steeler teams of, you know, 2005, those early Roethlisberger days. You know, it was kind of the quarterback working off the team and not the other way around. And I guess that's kind of the way I see Cleveland at this point, is a bit of a throwback to that era.
Definitely. Like, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, for as good as he was in some of those playoff games, it was still the threat of a Willie Parker, of Jerome Bettis, of that ground game, and really the defense, just knowing that defense was going to be able to lock things down. That was what people were most concerned with. But we're going to get to talk about the Steelers run game in just a bit here, because there were some interesting tidbits Mike Tomlin gave us on his Tuesday press conference about what might change with that moving forward. But first, I got to tell you guys about GetUpside. Hey, Steelers fans, this is Chris Carter with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code Touchdown to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code Touchdown to get 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. And there's no catch. The cashback gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code Touchdown to get 50 cents per gallon cashback on your first tank. That's promo code Touchdown. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter here with Adam Bittner. We're keeping it rolling here. Now, Adam, one of the notes that Mike Tomlin made in his Tuesday press conference, the injuries are not a concern for everyone on the active roster. One, he also noted for the Stephon Tuitt people who are going to ask this, he said there's no timeline for his return. He said he's looked like he's improving, things are looking better, but nothing is imminent with his return. So it's not going to be coming this week and looks like next week either, but it seems like they, once again, the Steelers are keeping tight lips around everything. They're not letting anything out about any specifics on what Stephon Tuitt is doing. But the specifics we have heard is that Zach Banner is going to be active. He's going to be a full participant this week in practice. And Mike Tomlin basically saying, you know, yeah, we're going to see in practice who's more deserving of each position on the offensive line. And he says he likes his situation right now because you saw improvements from Chukwuma Okorafor. You got to put a rookie in a Dan Moore Jr. out there a little bit. He got some experience. He got to cut his teeth a little bit. And now Zach Banner's into the fold. But one of the questions that people have talked about is a lot of people have discussed the chemistry of the offensive line. And, you know, this group gelling together, knowing its timing, and whether or not taking guys out or moving guys around might disrupt that. My first question to you, Adam, do you see this as a situation where maybe they should hold off on putting Zach Banner in for any chemistry sake? Or do you think, like, no, they need a veteran in there now because Zach Banner's physical presence is what they've been looking for in the run game?
Yeah, I think, you know, I study the Pro Football Focus grades every week for the Post-Gazette on post-gazette.com. And one of the things that stuck out to me is, A, that I think this offensive line has been graded a little bit better. Maybe it's given credit for, certainly in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And the second part is that you know, there's a lot of inconsistency with these guys. So it's hard for me to see a trend of cohesion with them because, you know, 1 week, you know, two or three guys might struggle a lot and two or three other guys might look great. And so the results, you know, are somewhat mixed. And so until you see one, two, three, four guys stringing together a lot of consistently solid games, I think there is room for Zach Banner to, you know, mix in and maybe get a game or two, and you know, promote some competition in practice, play the best guys in a given week, and you know, see how things unfold from there. So you know, I guess the cohesion isn't a big concern for me right now. You've only played six games, and I don't really know that they've played solidly as a unit yet. I think you've had individuals kind of lifting, you know, performances both for the running game and the line itself. So that's the trend that I'm kind of seeing. So I welcome Zach Banner into that conversation. But you know, he has to earn it too, just like everyone else. I don't think he should get a scholarship, just because he earned that spot in camp last year. So, you know, I think it should be a week to week type of thing. And if you start to see them string together two, three, four games where, you know, everyone looks solid together, then maybe that's your group. So that's where I'm landing right now.
The description that we've heard, Mike Tomlin, Adrian Clem, Matt Canada, they've all used the term popcorn at one point or another to describe the run game. And popcorn just meaning one guy over here pops up and does great, and another guy over here pops up and does great, but certain guys won't pop at the same time. And what makes the better offensive lines is when the entire group is out there and is able to say at the same time, we're winning our battles across the board. And maybe not everyone getting pancakes, but hey, your assignment, your gap is taken care of. And at the point of attack where the ball's going on that play, you're making sure that that's lined up. I do think that they took a really good, I think they had their best string of weeks, definitely, from the Packers to the Broncos to the Seahawks. The Packers, you started to see more combo blocks, more well-timed, less guys looking around wondering, okay, what am I actually doing here? That's been my biggest thing for Kendrick Green, is that a lot of times he looks a little confused as far as which blitz here he's supposed to take, where the stunt twist is coming from. The last couple games especially, he's looked a lot more confident. He's more freely hitting at the line of scrimmage, and that's been a lot of what has allowed the Steelers offensive line to look better. But like you said, I see Zach Banner as an asset here. And yes, I'm not saying he's some all-pro coming in. Like, you know, this isn't like, you know, we're not trying to say that, oh, Zach Banner, who just played one game as a starter last year before getting hurt, you know, that he's just going to walk in and change everything for them. But he is a veteran presence. And I do think that we've seen good strides from Chukwuma Okorafor. I think that Dan Moore Jr., this has been good time for him to learn what it takes to be in the NFL. I think he had a very interesting training camp. We went from getting beat up on in the early weeks to being more competitive in the later weeks. And then in this NFL season, he's had some chances to go up against some really good edge guys. And now they're in a situation where they're getting ready to face Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. So they need to be at their best. I think with Zach Banner in there, it gives them a good shot. And what he brings is a big physical type of blocker, the kind of guy that we've seen, you know, in practice, he's been a profile to be. He could be the guy on the right edge, kind of like what Marcus Gilbert was in the run game, just getting out there, being physical, blowing up the edge rushers, the off-ball linebackers, and making ceiling plays for Najee Harris to get the ball going. Because let's face it right now, Adam, I guess I should ask you if you agree. I see Najee Harris as the best weapon on this offense to get things going. And when he starts getting things going, that opens things up for everybody else.
Absolutely. And if you look at the yards after contact numbers, that's where I think Najee Harris is hiding some of the warts on this offensive line at times. And you know, I think the I'm on the Broncos game in particular where they ran the ball well, the offensive line got a ton of credit for that game. But if you looked at the stats, you know, it was just a ton of yards after contact for Najee Harris. So I think he makes these guys look a lot better. I think that kind of defines the conversation, is how well Najee plays in a given week tends to reflect on the offensive line, and maybe it takes some eyes off. But, you know, toward the end of what we can expect from Zach Banner, it's like you said, physical, nasty. That's what they talked about this entire offseason.
Yes, it was.
And we expected them to add more of that through the draft. They really didn't. You know, everyone I talked to about Dan Moore said, you know, he's really not that guy. Kendrick Green definitely got those reviews, but otherwise that was the extent of the major long-term additions to this offensive line. I think they were talking about getting Zach Banner back in there when they were talking about, you know, wanting to be nasty, wanting to be physical. So you know, it's hard for me to imagine that he would not add some of that element, and that's not what they want. And so I think, it would be interesting to see him in there, especially with the combination of Najee Harris and what he's already been able to do, you know, without Banner in there.
Absolutely. It's going to be really interesting to see what Najee Harris does, whether it is Zach Banner there in a right tackle. But, you know, and this is, again, this is why they drafted him, was that, you know what, the top offensive tackles were off the board. The top offensive linemen were off the board. The next five offensive linemen that were picked after Najee Harris haven't exactly, you know, blown it up this year. So, you know, when they got Najee Harris, they knew, look, a lot of this is going to be him making that group look better. Whereas, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, it's the offensive line that makes the running back look better. The truth is, it's always about each other. It's always about that balance to figure out who each other are. But Najee Harris is a guy who, like you said, can win after contact, can make the first guy miss, the second guy miss, and can make the proper vision and decisions to say, hey, I'm going to go this way and roll with the strengths of my offensive line. But it takes time to still figure that out, especially in a group that has no first rounders. They've got basically two fourth rounders starting in their first or second years in Dan Moore Jr. and Kevin Dotson, a third rounder in Kendrick Green, a free agent in Trey Turner, and then a fourth year guy in Chukwuma Okorafor. And now you're bringing back Zach Banner, a guy who, you know, looks like he could be a contributor, but again, he's not a David DeCastro or a Marquise Pouncey, you know, in their primes where you could count on them week in and week out to be this consistent, bring this consistent body of work. But maybe he does, because that's what they've been waiting to see for him for a while. We'll see how that develops. We'll see how the offense continues to develop. We're going to get some defensive questions for Adam just in a minute here. But first, I got to tell you guys about Bet Online. Bet Online is one of our great sponsors. And with football season well back underway, it's a great time to visit Bet Online and enjoy the football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, you can get more odds, props, and contests at BetOnline, which continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football to basketball to boxing, right down to horse racing. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, where the game starts. We're also brought to you by Built Bar. If you want a healthy treat that tastes like a candy bar, Built Bar is the ultimate protein bar for you. It's the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, and it comes in so many different flavors. Whether you want a fruity snack like raspberry, strawberry, or orange, something different like salted caramel, cookies and cream, double chocolate, or real cookie dough, Built Bar has all the flavors you could want to enjoy. And the best part? They're healthy. They range from 130 to 180 calories. They pack 17 to 18 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. It's a tasty and healthy snack that helps you save yourself from eating the snack you regret later, and helps anyone stay well on task with their diet. Order today and get your favorite flavor delivered right to your door by going to built.com. That's built.com, and use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And as always, we keep it rolling the Locked On Steelers podcast when we do back-to-back live reads. So Adam, let's get to the defense a little bit here. Now, Mike Tomlin had a few questions asked him. You know, a lot. You know, the three things that I thought were the most important things: A, addressing the run defense. And Chris Wormley brought this up on Monday when we talked to him. Mike Tomlin brought this up on Tuesday, talking about a lot of the run defensive problems you saw were more assignment related and were more, you know, gap related, and guys being in the right spots. That's something that they can fix. He also talked about how that and kind of the makeshift situation they've had in the defensive front with no Stephon Tuitt, no Tyson Alulu, and even depth guys like Carlos Davis. I mean, they're down three guys at the position. He said that kind of moving around, that's impacted the play of the inside linebackers and Devin Bush and Joe Schobert. So this, to me, is going to be a big storyline for this game. And I know defensive lineman isn't the sexiest thing to bring up when you're getting ready for a game, but it's going to be huge for the Steelers to say, hey, can you not only not get pushed back, you know, 8 to 10 yards down the field, but can you keep Devin Bush and Joe Schobert clean so that they can go sideline to sideline and have the one-on-one opportunities with Nick Chubb, with D'Ernest Johnson, to keep the Browns game in check, or the Browns run game in check? I wanted to get your thoughts, Adam. What have you seen from the Steelers defensive line? What are maybe some stats that have interested you about what they're doing? And is this something that they can even fix, or do they need to absolutely go and get somebody to fix this group?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. You know, anytime you have as many injuries as the Steelers had, you kind of necessarily have to add to that mix from the outside, right? Because no team's just walking around with, you know, 8 or 9 defensive linemen. that you can kind of call on at any given time. So, you know, as long as these guys are hurt and as long as Stephon Tuitt's out, I think you're going to be curious to see if they can put a flyer on someone and bring someone in. You know, but within the organization, I think we've seen solid, you know, individual performances. I wrote last week about Isaiah Loudermilk coming in and just in a few snaps kind of making an impact. And, you know, I think that's kind of going to have to be how things work is you're going to have to kind of establish almost a college-like rotation up there where you're going to have guys mixing in and maybe they're not, you know, up to playing 50, 60, 70 defensive snaps where they're as solid as the guys the Steelers would have had otherwise. But they can come in and they can rip off 10 to 15 very solid snaps. So that's kind of what I'm looking at is this almost going to be like a college rotation where you do have 8-9 guys sometimes on a college football team. Obviously, the Steelers aren't going to have that many, but if they can kind of piece together, you know, those guys behind Cam Hayward into solid snaps, I think that can be a formula that works. It's just going to take everyone, you know, doing their part.
I agree. It's gonna take a group effort there, and I also agree about Isaiah Loudermilk. The few snaps that he was in there on Sunday Night Football 2 weeks ago, he looked decent. Like you saw him being able to win battles, and that's why they traded up to get him in the fifth round because of, you know, his height, his size, and he seems like a more disciplined player if you can get the coaching into him. And that's what they're trying to do right now. So they want to see him continue to grow. Mike Tomlin mentioned him as well as far as guys that have been improving and stepping up, but they're going to be a huge part of this because Cam Hayward's one man. You saw the Seahawks just run into the interior gaps that weren't occupied by Cam Hayward in that game, and that's what got their offense started. And if you think the Seahawks are going to try to do that, you know the Browns are going to try to do that because they will see that on tape and they will go after it. And then if you're even able to do that, then it's still going to be up to the Devin Bushes and the Joe Schoberts to be able to go in, make the plays, win the one-on-one battles. So that's going to be a huge factor here. But another huge factor that Mike Tomlin brought up in his press conference was about Minkah Fitzpatrick. And this is a question I asked him, you know, because a lot of people have been saying, where's Minkah Fitzpatrick? What's he been doing? And I said on this very show just a week ago, I was like, you know what? Minkah Fitzpatrick's been doing a lot of double work. He's been having to help other guys. He's been helping out the slot coverage and backing them up and kind of going in places where he's more so a protector for another player who they don't feel as confident about than being the X factor guy in the middle of the field. Now, Adam, I know you're bigger into the PFF grades and the stats of that sort. PFF has been notoriously just bashing Minkah Fitzpatrick all season, calling him one of the worst coverage safeties in the NFL. You know, I asked Mike Tomlin, you know, is this a more of a circumstantial thing, or is this an assignment really, or is this something that he really does need to step up in? Mike Tomlin kind of looked at me and said, wait till you see, you'll look back on this part of the season when you asked that question, and you'll remember that you shouldn't have asked that question, more or less. He said, talking about this is circumstantial, kind of what I saw on tape. It's more so about they're not asking him to play center field purely the past several games. It's been, hey, make sure Arthur Maulet, if he gets beat, you're there to save him. Hey, make sure if this guy gets beat, you're here to save them with Trey Norwood and the such. But the sense that I'm getting from what Tomlin has said, what Terrell Austin said, is that Minkah is going to maybe get a little bit back into his old role here. And I think that would be a boost to have the defense get an X-factor player back who can be an X-factor player.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when things have been working well with Minkah Fitzpatrick, it hasn't necessarily because he's been, you know, the greatest cover safety in the world. You know, I don't think that's ever really been his role, like we were talking about. It's something that he can do. But, you know, in an ideal world, that's not what he's doing. He's generating turnovers like we saw when the Steelers first traded for him. And I think that's been the thing that people have missed the most. I think you'd take maybe some of these occasional breakdowns in coverage if you were getting those interceptions and those you know, those big hits that force fumbles and stuff like that. So I think that's been the biggest missing thing with him is you know, you can take a PFF grade at the end of the day and say, yeah, I mean, there's circumstances that are affecting that, but I think that's the difference between maybe getting like an 80 grade and a 60 grade. The problem with him has been that, you know, he's not getting the turnovers that get him there, that maybe paper over some of the coverage problems. And that's why you see him sometimes below 50 in terms of the grading, just because, you know, you want to take the good with the bad with him, but sometimes that good hasn't been there. And I think that's been the biggest problem with him is he's got to be more active in that turnover game and make this defense something closer to what it was the last two or three years where, You know, they were able to thrive and set the offense up in good position. I think that's complementary football is making sure you're putting your offense in the best situations to succeed. And there, this offense does have limitations. Ben Roethlisberger is limited. And so the best way to make him, more effective is to put him into situations to succeed. And I think, you know, that starts with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I think that's where everything works together as a team is, there's downhill effects of him not generating those turnovers. And that's why this team doesn't look as solid as it has at times in the past.
Yeah, I agree. This defense has been built it was legitimately elite when it was at its best in 2020 and 2019. When you could say that the way they stopped guys on third down, the way they were able to create turnovers and flip games and give the offense chances to put up more points on the board. That's when it's been at its best, is when it's done that. And Minkah Fitzpatrick hasn't been part of that this season. He did have a tip pass that led to an interception, but he hasn't had that crucial interception. He has had opportunities. You know, there was a pass that Aaron Rodgers threw that he should have intercepted. But I also think that this is more matchup related. And when I look at the tape, I see him, you know, covering this guy. And a lot of the times he's quote unquote targeted. When I look back at those PFF stats, you know, is when I look back and I was like, oh, that's what they count as a target. It's a play where he was, you know, 8 yards off of a guy and playing a zone and the guy gets thrown to under him and then he has to come up and make the tackle. And I feel like that's a lot different than say, like, you know, when he's running one-on-one with a guy, you know, 40 yards downfield and gets thrown at, which hasn't happened a whole lot this season. So I'm intrigued to see if what Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin have been kind of hinting at is going to come to pass, as far as, you know, are the Steelers going to put him in that traditional center fielder role where he was in 2019 and 2020, and you saw him kind of flying all over the place, and that's when the turnovers were created. And hey, last year he didn't have a lot of those big plays going into the first Browns game, and then that was when he had a pick six on Baker Mayfield and what, you know, kind of kick-started a big win for the Steelers. It's going to be interesting to see, coming off a bye, he's going to get the same opportunity against the Browns this year. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on Minkah Fitzpatrick, Devin Bush, the Steelers defensive front. All of that is going to be on front and center. I'm going to have my man Jeff Lloyd of the Locked On Browns podcast on for our crossover episode tomorrow here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. So stay tuned. We'll be talking a lot about that then. But Adam, thank you so much for being on here. It's always a pleasure to have you here and a fun episode. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, I'm at post-gazette.com. I'm writing pretty much every day about either the Steelers or our college football teams. Tomorrow, I guess it'll be today, later today, I'll be having a study of Kenny Pickett's numbers at Pitt and how they compare to Heisman winners past and maybe some of his top competition to win the trophy this year. Also have some betting guides and things of that nature. So check us out at post-gazette.com. Check out our beat writers, Jerry Dulac, Brian Bacca, Ray Fittipaldo, and all our columnists. Just tons of Steelers content will be coming in these next couple of weeks now that we're off the bye and really getting into the meat of the schedule.
Absolutely. Do check out Adam Bittner and the great work they do at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. As always, I'm Chris Carter, your host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Be sure to follow the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like this video to help us out. Leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts to get a shout out at the end of the show. We thank all those people who do those things. Like I said, we got Crossover Thursday tomorrow, getting you ready for Steelers versus Browns. It's going to be a good one. Stay tuned for more right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.